Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather and to worship. We thank you so much that your word is still changing lives, and more, and not more, but just as important, is still changing our lives. We pray salvation to spring up from the ground, and we pray for sanctification. God, we pray over ourselves tonight, your word that says, he who begun a good work will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Continue that good work in us, God. May your word transform us from glory to glory in Christ's name and for the glory and furtherance of his kingdom, not ours. Amen. 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 I want to tell you a story. There was a man named Abram. Abram lived amongst pagans. God looked down from heaven and said to Abram, you got something special. And God took him out of his town, out of his tribe, out of his nation, and from Abram, he breathed a breath of life into him, so now his name was Abraham. And Abraham became the father of all the Jews. Isaac, his son, a picture of Christ himself going up on the mountain. God will provide the lamb. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons that later became the tribes of Israel. And from one man's faith, Abraham, God built the strongest, mightiest nation on the earth. Then something happened. Something sad. The best way to put it is they took God for granted. Because you think in your human mind, you can't see, you can't touch, and your feelings are only for your flesh and not your spirit, they forsook the God who cared for them. And they became slaves. They became vagabonds. They had to wander in the desert for 40 years of pain until that nation of Israel, the tribes of Judah, turned around. Then the Savior was born. Shepherds rejoicing. They brought him gold and incense and myrrh. And the Jews had their Savior. And the Gentiles, to them he was a light, the non-Jews. And they started to worship. The craziest thing happened. The nation of Rome didn't want freedom for its people, wanted to keep them afraid and in bondage. So they did two things. First, they persecuted them. But that didn't work. It seems like their blood was like fertilizer for the ground of which it was bled. And the more Christians that died, the more Christians that lived. Then Rome got smart. And you know what they did? They adopted Christianity as the national religion. And that messed it up. Because then they could control it. And thousands of years went by. And Rome became Catholicism, Roman Catholics. Rome's still the epicenter of Christianity, otherwise known as Catholicism. And there was a man named Martin Luther in the 1700s. Anybody remember the year? And he said, "You are not doing this the way you're supposed to." And he rebelled. And he put the Magna Carta, what is it? His what?
95.
The 95 Theses? And he nailed it to the door of the Roman, whatever it is. And they decided, we had to find a place of our own. Because England here, just an extension of Rome. So they traveled to a new land to establish a place where they could worship God the way God wanted to be worshiped. At first they came to Central America, and then they made their way up to the New World, the land inhabited by the American Indian, Native American, whatever you want to call them. And they established a religion and a faith and a peace with them. Some of the tribes went for it, some of the tribes didn't. Now, I don't want to talk about all the disease and all the things that actually killed the Indians and some of the wickedness that the Europeans brought over here. Let's keep that for a different day. Let's establish the fact that the New World was born. And these men, these great minds, they gave us the Declaration of Independence. They declared their independence from Rome as well as from England. More importantly, England, but make no mistake about it, Rome's hand of strength was upon it. Ryan, what are you talking about? I'll get there. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Well, at first, they didn't know what to do. The pilgrims came here and they started worshiping God the way God in the Bible prescribed to be worshiped. As a matter of fact, so serious they were about it, the ships that took them here, they burnt them. They didn't want an out. They said, that's it. We're here, and we're not going back. And they set to fire the ships that brought them here. Then, as the nation became the mightiest nation that's ever, the richest nation that's ever, the most powerful nation that's ever been anywhere, the freest nation that's ever been anywhere. They adopted Christianity. What was supposed to be freedom to worship became freedom from worship. What was established as the amendment, freedom of religion, worship God the way you want, later became used to worship God the way we want. And that's where we stand today. The blood of the martyrs long since dried up. Our country is blessed. What went from dependence on God became independence from God. And what we're about to read hasn't changed in 5,000 years. I could be reading it out of a newspaper right now. I could be reading it out of any place where people call on the name of God. Oh God, why have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? You know, there's a great question that's often been asked. And the question is this: why does bad things happen to good people? If God is all powerful, if God is all good, then why does bad things happen to good people? The answer is, there ain't no good people. The real question is, why does anything good happen to any of us? If the hand of God was not on us, protecting us, this disease would eat us all up alive. Not just a couple million. The Bible says this: if the Lord had not been on our side, all our enemies would have swallowed us alive. If the Lord had not been on our side, the mighty waters, the raging floods would have swept over us and swept us away. The one thing about this disease that I noticed, let me paint a picture that's not real, but what it was in, I was feeling. I was going along at this great pace in life, and things were really good. And I was wondering, man, things are really good. What's going on here? You know what I mean? Just going along. And I had this sense of security that I thought had something to do with either a financial blessing or a physical wellness. And this tidal wave came and just seemed to wash this layer of protection off. I gotta take my pulse, oxygen level every 15 minutes, and my temperature. I'm gonna die. And then I'd catch myself and go, dude, what are you doing? Where's your faith? Where's your strength? And I'd walk outside and I literally smack myself. I'm sorry, God. What happened to me? It's like God just, for a second, for whatever reason he has, and I'll take it now. He just pulled his little piece that passes all understanding cap off. Don't ever forget who's watching over you. Don't ever forget. If it wasn't me on your side, don't ever forget. You don't deserve the blessings I give you. The question is not, why do bad things happen to good people? The question is, why don't I let the enemy swallow you alive? Whew. So, with that wonderful thought in mind, let's reread the first verse of this 74th chapter. Now understanding that it wasn't the actual reality. Obviously, God hadn't forsaken them forever. Was God angry with them? No, maybe God had to teach you a little bit of a lesson. Hey, don't ever forget how much I watch over you. Don't ever start worshiping the creature rather than the creator. Don't ever start to think that the blessing doesn't have a blesser. And it ain't your hard work, it ain't your diligence, it ain't your saving of your money. It's God, it's me, he would say. Now, because he's a gentleman, he wouldn't say it like that, but doggone it, it felt like the last few weeks he'd been saying it like that to me. Oh God, why have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, the tribe of your inheritance, which you have redeemed, this Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. Now, for you guys that are new, Mount Zion is where God chose to put his spirit to the nation of Israel. So whenever you hear Zion, Mount Zion, or Zionists, or anything like that, it's the the author saying, let me paraphrase, we were supposed to be your favorite. We were supposed to be your favorite. Why are you doing this to us? Paraphrase. Lift up your feet to the perpetual desolations. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Your enemies roar in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their banners for signs. They seem like men who lift up axes among the thick trees, and now they break down its carved work all at once with axes and hammers. They have set fire to your sanctuary. They have defiled the dwelling place of your name to the ground. They set in their hearts, let us destroy them altogether. They have burned up all the meeting places of God in the land. Give me your attention. Let me say something a little controversial. In case you did not know this, there is a movement, a political movement now in our country called Black Lives Matter. The statement, the phrase Black Lives Matter is a duh statement. Well, of course Black Lives Matter. Exactly. However, the political movement known as Black Lives Matter has declared themselves to be socialist. No, they have declared themselves to be Marxist. They are not for law and order, they are for anarchy. The political movement, Black Lives Matter, has declared that their followers should go into the churches where there is pictures of white Jesus, and they should tear them down and break them down. They should burn the churches down to the ground. They should take the Bibles, because you don't know how to read the Bible like they do. They have declared they are a religion. You might not know that. You might think this is a wonderfully peaceful and wonderful movement of rebellion against the man. Black lives matter. Well, of course they matter. But the Black Lives Matter movement itself is doing all these things, along with their buddies who call themselves Antifa. We are reading this right out of the newspaper. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows how long. Is there anybody? Is there anybody? Is there any leader, political or religious, who has stood up in defiance of this tyranny? What happened to all these big shots? Where's the prophet among us? Everybody's afraid to be called a racist. Everybody's afraid to be put on their radar. The same reason that people don't say anything about Muslims. The same thing. You won't hear anybody talk no crap about a Muslim. You know why? They'll firebomb your house for their religion. And us dumb old Christians, we turn the other cheek, get on our knees and pray. Yeah, this is where we're at. They said in their hearts, verse 8, let us destroy them altogether. They have burned up all the meeting places of God in the land. We do not see our signs. There's no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows how long. Oh God, how long will the adversary reproach? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever? You ever wonder that? You ever look at these people on TV and say, I mean, we've talked about this a dozen times. Do you know how you are wagging your finger at a mighty, mighty God? You blaspheme power. You say bad, evil, ugly, rotten things. You misrepresent a God who, he can vaporize you, man. And here, the writer of this knows that. And he's like looking at God, trying to reason, like, how long are you going to let him do this? How long? Like I said, we're reading this out of today's paper, in case you didn't know. Why do you withdraw your hand, even your right hand? Take it out of your bosom and destroy them. For God is my King from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Guys, verse 12 is our call. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, any one of these democratic operatives, they need salvation. They need us to love them, even if it means their lost souls. Our job isn't to hate them. He's working salvation. We've waited. There isn't a Christian that I know, especially pastors. There isn't a pastor that I ever met that didn't have this thought, what would I do if I was born in the time of Christ? What would I do if I was born in a time where Christianity was being attacked, persecuted, prosecuted? Well, guess what, guys? You're going to find out. Matter of fact, you can find out right now. Stand up and declare that you ain't closing your church no matter what, no governor. Yeah, well, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't blame you. But you're going to have to stand before God and explain that to him. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea serpents in the water. You broke the head of Leviathan in pieces and gave him as food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Verse 14 is a little weird, guys. I don't really know what it means, and there's been much speculation. But some people say, and now this is a little weird, it's just a little fun. It's a little fun Bible game. Don't make a religion out of it. That Leviathan, that great monster that lived in the sea that the Bible has so much to say, that God scooped him out of the sea and made manna out of him and fed people in the wilderness with him. There's a few verses that kind of suggest that, but again, there's no, just a fun Bible, one of those things. You broke open the fountain and the flood. You dried up mighty rivers. The day is yours. The night also is yours. You have prepared the light and the sun. You have set all the borders of the earth. You have made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy is reproached, O Lord, and that a foolish people has blasphemed your name. And then he says something. Listen, this next line is like it's pure poetry. I don't know if it conceptualizes, it makes you visualize a very picturesque thing here. Oh, do not deliver the life of your turtle dove to the wild beast. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. So we start out with him telling God, I don't get it. Why have you forgotten us? Why have you cast us off? Why won't you? Come on. I know how powerful you are. Take your right hand out and smash these people. They blaspheme you. They do all these things. Do something. And then he goes, You call me your turtle dove. Don't give my life, the life of your turtle dove, to the wild beast of the field. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Look at verse 20, and this is a very important prayer particular. Have respect to the covenant. Before you read the end of verse 20, he says, God, remember the promises that you made to us, the covenant of David, the covenant of Abraham. For us, the promises that come with the Lord Jesus, by his stripes, you're healed. You will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Be anxious for nothing, but that in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Remember, you remind God. You remind him, you tell God humbly. You come to God in your time of need, to his throne of grace, and you say, God, remember your word to your servant that you promised him to hope. Remember your covenant, he says. And then he says something really kind of spooky. For the dark places of the earth are full of the haunts of cruelty. The dark places of the earth are full of the haunts of cruelty. I don't know about you. What I struggle with God, I'm just going to give you my honest, my biggest struggle with God is I hear about I read a story today that some 20-year-old girl in Ohio was arrested for burning her infant with a lighter and then rubbing, I don't know if it was a girl or a boy, his or her face on a treadmill. The treadmill's running. Put her face on it. And I hear things like that. I hear about the raping and the the murder of children, and it shakes me. God, how could you let that happen? But here's what happens to me. I've been through some pretty heavy things myself. And God's shown up in every one of them. So it's when I look at other people's situations that I'm not a part of it all, where I can't see grace and the mercy of God's hand in it. I read the blurb on the TV or the internet, and it's kind of like, oh, God, show up. But he's shown up every time in my life in tragic and horrible things. I mean, didn't grow up real great either. You guys understand what I'm saying there? Yeah, you don't see it when you're reading the paper, but you see it when you're involved. The grace of, there's a really interesting book. It's a fun, quick read. Not fun. Fun is the wrong word. It's an interesting, quick read. It's called Grace from Ground Zero. It's by Jim Cimbala, who's the pastor at Brooklyn Tabernacle. When the Twin Towers fell, his church went in there to help. And although there was tragedy and death and destruction and body parts, he writes about all these stories, about all these people that came to the Lord and things of that nature. It's called Grace from Ground Zero. It's a small book that he wrote. Very interesting. For the dark places of the earth are full of the haunts of cruelty. Oh, do not let the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Arise, O God, plead your own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches you daily. Do not forget the voice of your enemies. The tumult of those who rise up against you increases continually. Now, what I find amazing also is that chapter 75, it's like the answer. It's like, what a different attitude. What a different perspective. Why don't we just read it? We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks. For your wondrous works declare that your name is near. Who got up today before the sun? Did you see the sun come up? How the heck did that happen? With all that's going on in this world right now, God remembered to bring the sun up. Now, at first that might sound ridiculous. Well, and I guess if you're an evolutionist and there's a big bang and it's blowing around and the earth's spinning around and yeah, okay, well. I've said this before and I love this and I'm going to get a couple of the facts wrong, but you'll get the idea. The earth is spinning at 60,000 miles an hour. Going around the sun at, I forget the pitch. It's a specific pitch. To think to yourself that God's in control is a little weird because that's really fast. Except if you think he's not in control, then you're screwed. Because at any point in time, all this thing has to do, guys, is wobble. Any pace, any micro millicent of a degree, and it just goes off kilter a little bit. Done. The whole shooting match, over. Do you understand that? Listen to what this psalm writer wrote. We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks. For your wondrous works declare that your name is near. It's true. Look at it. Look at it. Yeah, if it bleeds, it leads in all the papers and internet and... But the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning. The breeze is going to come off the ocean, man. I got up at 4 o'clock this morning with a burden of prayer in my heart to find out about 7:30 that Javier is turning around. I said, oh, man. I'm going to keep it going. I'm going to keep it going. I'm going to keep it going. Grace. That's cool to see things in clouds. I like that too. Did it change your life? You saw a cloud that looked like the Lord Jesus and it didn't change your life, huh? Wow, Grace. That's almost as good as the toast with Mother Mary on it. I do like seeing that stuff too, though. I love seeing the... Like that. We look, me and Cammy go out in the backyard and we look at the clouds. What's that? That one looks like a bull. When I choose the proper time, you know, this is a crazy thing that happens here, guys. And it only happens a few times in the Bible. And the writer better be, you know what I mean? You don't want to screw this up. You don't want to go before God and be like, and God is saying, I didn't tell you to write that. I thought it was you. But what happens is, he now starts speaking like he's God. There's a verse in the psalm that says, my heart is the pen of a ready writer. Look at this. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. One of my favorite medicines to take is Alka-Seltzer. It just works for me. I don't know what it is about it. Maybe it's the high content of aspirin, but you put it in the water, plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is. Did you hear what he just said? Oh, this is God doing the speaking. When all you Christians are out of here, and I rapture you and snatch you up out of this filthy earth that the world is destroyed, that I made beautiful, the earth and all its inhabitants dissolved. Plop, plop. Fizz, fizz. Woo! I set up its pillars firmly. I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully. And to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. Now, if you guys don't know, the word horn in the Bible refers to the power. In the book of Revelation, there is talk of what's called the little horn. If you've ever seen, Italians have they have this little thing that they wear. It's either a horn or a hand like this. That's a satanic power. The little horn is the Antichrist that rises up out of the 12 beasts, the 12. So when I grew up and they all wore the horn, that was to show power. I'm powerful. This is my horn. It's kind of a crazy thing. You didn't realize, like, well, that's pretty spooky. Yeah, it really is. Say again? That's right. Just like the Jews put the mezuzah, Italians put it on the doorpost. The horn, this is power. And realize it was a satanic power you were looking. God said, don't lift up your horn because you ain't got no power in that horn. You ain't got no power. 4, verse 6, exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. It comes neither, ready, guys? From the east, or the west, or the south. Where does exaltation, where does the lifting up of your life, where does your blessing come from? Northwood. Da Nort. That's such a cool verse. Exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. It's like, you see what happened in verse 6? He went back to speaking. He spoke a few verses in the first person of God, but now has retracted back to writing about God. Interesting, so interesting. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, and it's fully mixed, and he pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. There's a scene in the movie Dumb and Dumber. Yes. Where he's getting even with his buddy for stealing his girl. Hey, buddy, would you drink a glass of tea with me before you go? Sure. And he takes Turbolax, this mega powerful laxative, and he fills up the cup with it. And he hands it to him, and he drinks, oh, that's good. And he puts his hand up, and he... said, in the hand of the Lord, there is a cup. It ain't Turbolax either. Make no mistake about that. All these blasphemers, all these wicked of the earth, they're going to drink it down all the way to the bottom. You know what dregs are? When they used to make wine, it's the little pieces of undissolved grape and sediment at the bottom. They're going to drink it all. Don't you worry, faithful. Don't cease being faithful because the wicked prosper. There. Listen to that again. For in the hand of the Lord, there's a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed. I will add, no generation has seen what this generation has seen. How did our lives come to this, guys? How is it that God chose us to live in such a time as this? A plague, which by the time it's over is going to be as bad as the Black Plague. By the time this thing passes through, it's going to be as bad as any plague that's ever hit the earth. I might be exaggerating a little, but not that much. It's going to be, should the Lord tarry, say 100 years, which I do not believe, they're going to look back at the coronavirus and go, look what China did to the earth. But I don't believe that's going to happen. I believe we're in the end times. It's fully mixed. It's all in there. In the hand of the Lord, there is a cup. You getting ready, Earth? Because I'm mixing it now. I believe that. I do. And the question is this. This is a big question. How you living? There's a man whom we follow who said, hey, I want you to know, to some people, the Lord comes as a thief in the night. And if you ignore him and you keep living with the drunkards, keep taking advantage of people, he's going to come as a thief in the night. He's going to come at an hour that you do not expect. I don't know how you're living, but you gotta act right before you get smack right. No joke. How you doing this thing here? You curious about God yet, or you getting serious about God yet? It's time to get serious, y'all. Because ain't none of you all going to get left behind on my watch. Because I'm getting my wings soon. I want you all to go with me. I want to do this up in heaven together. But don't let him come as a thief in the night. If we knew that he was going to tarry, let's go back 100 years, and we knew he was going to tarry, live it up. God ain't coming back. We know for sure it's not going to be at least 100 years. Listen, on your deathbed, then you can say, God, I'm sorry. Yeah. Lord Jesus said, don't say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that? I never knew you. Who are you kidding? Oh, man. Verse 9, But I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off. But the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Goes back to first person. Ugh, it drives me crazy. Goes back to talking for God like he's God. Hey, he says, I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. Then God says, all the horns of the wicked I will cut. Don't worry. They have no power. You know who has power? You ready for this word? The meek shall inherit the earth. Wow. The meek shall inherit the earth. Psalm 76. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the arrows of the bow, the shield, and the sword of battle. You are more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout heart were plundered. They have sunk into their sleep, and none of the mighty men have found use of their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse were cast into a deep sleep. Reading through the book of 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, if you read through those books in a chronological way, and you can do that, you will see how many battles the Lord shows up. Does anybody know what the Six-Day War is? In 1948, the nation of Israel, by the United Nations, was declared to be a nation again after 2,000 years of having no place to go. And Jews from all over the earth started flooding the area. And Jerusalem, which was forsaken by Jordan, forsaken by Egypt, forsaken by all those nations around, didn't care one bit about it. Now all of a sudden they want it back. And they declare war upon this fledgling nation. And God defeated the enemy. They were outmanned, outgunned. If you hear the stories of how many times war was declared against the nation of Israel from 1948 to like 1960, and how many wars were started and finished almost exclusively by God, God doing something like, you're like, are you kidding me? Did Jordan just get defeated by Israel? How? Prager University, if you're into such things as research on the internet, there's a YouTube channel called PragerU. PragerU has a lot of very informative. If you just go to PragerU's YouTube channel and put in Israel, Six-Day War, peace in the Middle East, any of those things, really, really, really interesting stuff, really great historical information about what God did. So first we have verse chapter 74, God, why have you done this? Then we have, what am I crying about? You're the one that's got all the power. Now, in 76, we're like, God, you smash the enemy to smithereens time and again. Yes, Grace. Alliances?
Yeah,
they're called peace treaties. Israel had nobody yet. They were just a forming nation. They were alone.
So are we bigger than Israel?
We are perfectly aligned with Israel. Israel is one of our only allies in the Middle East. Yeah, but they're not in the Middle East, they're in Europe. It's okay. You'll learn all this stuff. It's good. You're asking good questions. I'm glad to hear that you're paying attention. Again, verse 4. You are more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted were plundered. They have sunk into their sleep, meaning they're dead. And none of the mighty men have found use of their hands. It's funny that the way that works. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse were cast into a deep sleep. You yourself are to be feared, and who may stand in your presence when once you are angry? You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment to deliver all the oppressed of the earth, surely the wrath of man shall praise you. With the remainder of wrath, you shall gird yourself. That's a really weird verse. And I wish I could give you some kind of picture. The wrath of man shall praise you. With the remainder of wrath, you shall gird yourself. Getting PO'd at God probably is not the greatest idea. I don't know. Maybe that's a good paraphrase. I don't know. Make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. Before we finish with verse 12, again, verse 11, I've used this analogy. When you are sick, when you are down, when you are broke, when you are hurting, when you are wanting something to God, you offer to God something in return. Here, the writer of this psalm, Asaph, he said, I want you to make vows to God and I want you to pay them. I promised God when I was on my sickbed that I'd be different. That this was an awakening for me. I've not been merciful and graceful enough to my wife. She's such a pleasure. She's so merciful. She sleeps in the same bed as me. I mean, goodness gracious. I said, God, I'm gonna love that woman better. I promise. I can be so short and curt. I'm so smart. It's so funny how the quick-witted think the dim-witted are stupid. My wife isn't quick-witted. I'm quick-witted. She's not dumb. She just doesn't think on her feet fast. But she's so wonderful, so smart, so intelligent, thought. I said, God, I promise. And you know what? I'm going to show more appreciation to the people that are around me. I made these vows. That's the point. And here, the psalm writer is saying the same thing. So make these vows and keep them. Why do you think bad things happen to good people? So you could change. That's why. Because you're not as good as you think you are. You only think you're good. So when your life gets turned topsy-turvy, helter-skelter, upside down, make a promise to God. And then when he delivers, keep it. Actually do something insane and keep your promise to God. Make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is awesome to the kings of the earth. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. Exaltation truly neither comes from the east or the west or from the south. Surely there is a cup. It's fully mixed. You are awesome to the kings of the earth. May the promises of God, which are yes and amen, come to pass in our lives. May we live out our vows and love the lost. God, we pray that this country would become united again. We pray against the division sown by politicians, Republican, Democrat, and every other party that's there. We pray, please, God, may there be. God, we know there's not going to be peace until the Prince of Peace comes. So we just cry out like the Apostle Paul, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.